Good morning and welcome to Binary Jazz, the only podcast where neither the hosts nor the listeners have any idea what they're talking about. I am joined today. My name is Chris. I am Jazz Sequence on the internet. I am joined with my co-host, Binary Gary. Gary in real life, who is an amateur artichoke harvester and grower in southern Florida. And I don't even know if you live in Southern Florida. That's where you harvest the artichokes, though.
Yes. Great crop this year. Great crop this year.
And the lovely and talented Miss Allison Tarr, who's Allison Plus on the internets, who is a burgeoning travel blogger, the kind that doesn't actually blog about her travels. Without further ado, how is everyone, first of all? I was talking earlier before we started recording about my Shakespearean Insult daily calendar. It's actually pretty good. Yesterday's was from Othello. I wanted to share it. Today's actually even better, but I wanted to share yesterday's. It says, "Go to, woman, throw your vile guesses in the devil's teeth. From whence you have them, you are jealous now." But today's is even better. Today's is from Henry IV, Part 2, and it says, "I have borne and borne and borne and have been fubbed off and fubbed off and fubbed off from this day to that day. It is a shame to be thought on." And I would like to know, pray tell, gentle guests and viewers and everyone, what fubbed off means and if Shakespeare is actually cursing in a way that we would consider to be cursing then, like if it just like changed, like is he actually saying fucked off? I don't know. It does sound like it, doesn't it?
I want to vote yes.
I think in context it means like blown off or ignored.
Yeah, it does sort of sound like that.
But it definitely carries the connotation of vulgarity.
That's why I was impressed by this.
That's what I do on weekends. I just close the laptop and fub off for the weekend.
Exactly. There you go. So if you're new to the show, then you should listen to the other two episodes first before listening to this
one. So you know what's going on.
So stop whatever you're doing now and go back and download and listen to the other episodes.
Continuity certainly matters in this thing.
Yeah, definitely. But if you are new to the show, we will have Allison bring us topics that neither of Gary nor I know about, and then we will attempt to discuss those topics to the best of our ability. And today, the topic is...
This is my favorite
Esperanto.
Part.
Esperanto.
That was that hit song last year, right?
It was a real rager. I don't know. I'm not as in touch with what the kids are listening to these days, but I'm pretty sure it was out there on the dance floors.
It is a song that Sesame Street did a cover of for Rubber Duck. It's pretty fantastic. Make sure that link makes it to the show notes, I guess, huh?
Yeah, show notes. Ha ha. It is a language I can learn in Duolingo. Let's see, where is it? Esperanto, right there. Right there. If you're listening, I am showing my Duolingo, and it has Esperanto. And I'm not learning Esperanto, nor is anybody. I don't know what country Esperanto is spoken in. Does anybody know?
Or if it is spoken at all.
Wait, I think Esperanto is like a Native American dialect, isn't it? No?
Again, do you want me to answer, or like you guys can just like take this?
I think you're confident about it.
Well, like, see, the funny thing,
Native American dialect, right, Allison?
the funny thing about Esperanto is I don't know. I mean, except for the people who actually speak it, I don't know that anybody actually knows what it is, and that makes it funny because I don't know how many people here are Red Dwarf watchers, but I'm a huge Red Dwarf fan. The boys from the Dwarf. And So Arnold Rimmer, who is the dead crew member who's resurrected as a hologram, was learning Esperanto or attempting to learn Esperanto. And that's his like big claim to fame. Not one of his big claims to fame. He keeps bragging about how he knows Esperanto or is learning Esperanto. And nobody cares because this is millions of years after the entire human civilization has died. So there's literally no one in the universe who speaks Esperanto. So there's literally no one who would even care. Even if there were people who spoke Esperanto when people were alive. So I think that the whole point that nobody knows what Esperanto actually is kind of the point of Esperanto.
It's like the most secret club imaginable.
Something to that effect, yeah.
If you were going to make up a language, right?
Would it be Esperanto?
Well, no. How would you start? I mean, would you take like what we know as, you know, sentence structure, nouns and verbs, et cetera, and say, I need to figure out like an alternative way to say these things that I already know exist? Or would you approach it from a completely different perspective? And would it be a new language if you just replaced words? I mean, it would be, but I mean, it would be very interesting.
That's definitely an interesting thought. I mean, obviously people do it all the time, make up new languages. There's new languages that are invented for movies. There's new languages that are, I mean, Klingon is a language that people learn and speak to each other at extremely nerdy conventions. And I think that there's a variety of different ways you can go about it. Languages are invented for books. I think that the easiest way, obviously, is to just sort of like, you know, swap a word in for another word.
Right.
But I don't necessarily think that's the best way of doing it, because that doesn't really explore the nature of language.
And also, you can make up whatever you want, but if you don't have someone to communicate with, it's kind of moot because you're not
translating
your experience to another person with that language.
Language is so, I mean, I guess like communication really. It's much easier like when you can see folks. Like this podcast, I don't think would work if we all covered our cameras or just made it an audio call, I guess would be an alternative. So, I mean, with that visual portion, how much language becomes visual after the creation of words, you know? Like I can say things in different ways, but you can tell by my facial expressions like what I really mean, without changing inflection and tone. Maybe
it's true, and that's why emoji is such an important part of text conversations.
It is.
Like yes. I was late to that game, and I realized that I sound like an asshole at some point, and that when you use emoji, you can say things and sound like less of an asshole. So I'm a big user of emoji to convey tone.
Are you big on customizing emoji in Slack?
Oh yeah, when I joined HumanMade, I added probably like 50 or more emoji because their emoji game was lacking.
Oh, that's interesting. See, I would have expected theirs to be pretty good, given the folks that are over there.
There was some interesting stuff there, definitely, but they were lacking many. I mean, I had all the. So when and now I'm name dropping our old agency. When I left WebDev, when WebDev moved from HipChat to Slack, I downloaded all the HipChat emoji so that we could import them, so we could move them into Slack. And so I still had all of those emoji. So I was like, well, I've got all this stuff. I'm going to put it into HumanMade's as well.
So two questions. Number one, is there a bulk importer for emoji, or do you have to do that like manually?
Nope, one by one.
Ouch. Yeah. Second question is not a question, it's a statement, because that's how language works, right? Apparently. My favorite Slack game is to use emoji that I know doesn't exist in hopes that someone will like toss something in there. I feel like it's a great opportunity for, like backwards humor that may not really last, but.
So we have a shared channel, with WordPress, VIP, and somebody did that yesterday and I couldn't tell if they were doing what you're describing, where they're putting things in that they know don't exist or that they suspect might not exist, or if they're trying to use emoji that existed previously, because previously we had a channel that was ours on their Slack, and now we have a one of the new fancy share channels. It definitely doesn't exist on our end, but maybe it exists on their end too. But it made me wonder about, like, because like you wouldn't in Slack when you're typing out an emoji and it's like, you know, colon, start typing, nobody types the whole word, right? Like nobody types the whole words. You start typing and you hit tab, because when does anyone ever write entire words?
So I do silly things in my IDE.
You would have to be pretty committed to continue typing an emoji that doesn't exist.
Right.
Yeah.
I totally type them out when I know they don't exist, in hopes that someone will hop on them. And I've started to see other folks do the same thing. So I kind of like
that's evil. That's evil.
Well, and the best part is when you see someone else do it, you know, it's, and you have that like moment for distraction, you can go, gosh, what would be like the most, you know, inappropriate thing to put in there, or like what would make you go, huh? Right. Like one of my,
it's not even, it's not even a game that's like, let's do something that's representative of this sentiment. It's something that's like, let's do something that would like,
perhaps other people treat it that way.
Counterintuitive.
I'm not mature enough to handle it though. Right. So, I mean, other folks may see it and, you know, populate it appropriately. Great example. Right. I remember this interaction very well at WDS. You put "May the Force be with you" in inside colons for emoji, which didn't have to exist. So naturally, I put Jar Jar Binks in there, right? and that was there. I mean, it probably is still there. I don't know. But I loved using that one too when people were, you know, I'm going to try this, right? May the Force be with you. And Jar Jar Binks pops up. Like, is that encouragement or not? I mean, kind of. I don't know. But it makes me laugh, so mission accomplished, right? Fly the banner.
It's definitely a weird forward. I don't know if it's a form of positive or negative reinforcement in that particular scenario.
I mean, it could go either way, right? I mean, I guess that's the nuance that is involved in language. And that brings us back to Esperanto. It's wonderful how on topic we are today.
Oh, man, I could talk about emoji all day.
And that's why I don't bring that to the table, because I know our time.
Because we're going to get there anyway.
One quick emoji sidebar, because I feel like I have to throw this out there. Before I was like a professional developer, I wrote like a lot of scripts for myself.
This is also before you were a professional artichoke harvester?
Yeah. Well, I'm an amateur artichoke harvester.
Yeah.
Give yourself more credit than that. Your artichokes are great.
If you sold an artichoke, you're a professional. So I read somewhere that you could use emoji as variable names, right, in PHP. So there is a script still running at that company where I have named variables with emoji. It's like the biggest cluster to read. But, you know, it worked. It worked.
Do you have an emoji domain yet?
No. No, out of the 100 domains I own, none of them are emoji domain.
I've looked at emoji domains, and I can't think of a good emoji combination that would be something that could be used. I mean, I guess we could get one from Binary Jazz, right? It's like ones and zeros and then a saxophone or something. I don't know. It's just, it's too hard to communicate purely in emoji. Did either of you ever use that all emoji social network?
No.
I can't remember what it was called, but there is an all emoji social network that lasted about 3 days until everybody realized that you can't actually communicate.
We can't do this.
So your username was emoji, and you would post emojis and follow other emoji people. And I think that mine was trying to be an interpretation of jazz sequence. So it was like music notes and ones and zeros, I think, or something, or maybe music notes and like an algorithm. I don't know, but it didn't really come off.
What is an algorithm?
I don't know.
Emoji. Was it Al Gore and then like a drum? Hooray!
That would
definitely be my emoji communication strategy. It would be very phonetic.
Al Gore rhythm. There's no Al Gore emoji though.
yet.
It's like businessman didn't plan it.
Wasn't part of the list of topics. They were like, these are our must go, like our must haves.
Yeah, it'll get there. I'm sure it'll make it. So Esperanto is a language, allegedly.
No,
is
it
there
is.
More we should know about it?
No, I know it seems like I'm bringing forth a lot of topics that are on the fence.
No, barefoot running.
No, it exists.
33%.
I just don't know where, because I don't know where it's spoken.
2 million people speak it.
Really?
That's a lot more people than I would have expected.
Can you give us the hemisphere?
Worldwide.
Worldwide.
Because it is a made-up language, a constructed language, built to bring people together.
Oh, well, I like that.
Yeah.
Really?
So, I mean, technically, there are native speakers of Esperanto, but that took a while.
Huh.
Because you would have to teach it to your kids and have them be native speakers.
Maybe I need to add it to my Duolingo now. And learn it.
Is it Eastern or Western in construction?
What's Western? It's not like pictograph.
No. I think the person who spearheaded it was in Europe. I want to say Poland.
And it's not an ancient language, clearly.
No,
how recent?
See, I was totally gonna say it was like a lost language from like before Portuguese and like the Spanish like country, like, you know, Spanish part of Europe, you know. But yeah,
I would totally buy that too.
Yeah, that's what I said then. I just said it. It's pre-Portuguese language from Portugal.
I think it's. I don't know. I was surprised by how many people speak it now. I guess, but
well, and now you can add it to Duolingo, so you can.
I know.
So you can learn it.
Because I don't even know what it sounds like.
I don't know what it sounds like either. Well, somebody does, though, because I mean that's how Duolingo has somebody like saying the word, so then you would be able to hear what it sounds like. Mm-hmm. I'm learning, by the way. The reason why I have Duolingo is I'm learning. I'm refreshing myself in Italian, which I was inspired to do after going to Italy a couple of months ago. And then I'm learning Portuguese because there's a chance we might go to Portugal for our retreat this year. It's between Portugal and Sri Lanka, but Sri Lankan is not, or none of the languages that are spoken in Sri Lanka are on Duolingo. So I'm going to just assume that it's Portugal.
You're hedging your bets.
Yeah. If I have to choose between a language that I can't learn and a language I can learn, I'm going to, you know, maybe we're not going to go to Portugal and I'm just going to learn Portuguese anyway. And it will be bomb.
How far are you? Do you intend to learn this? I mean, are you looking to be fluent in it before this trip, or are you just, you know, the normal stuff? Please.
I'm going to learn as much as I can in the year leading or the months leading up to the trip, and or until we figure out that we're not going. And I don't know if we figure out that we're not going to Portugal, I might stop. I guess it depends on how much I like it. It's really Portuguese is really weird.
You guys got Brazil as a backup, right?
Well, the Portuguese that's in Duolingo is Brazilian Portuguese, not Portuguese, which would be slightly different. I don't know that it's that much different. I think the pronunciation is different. The pronunciation is just whack anyway, though. Knowing like Spanish and knowing Italian, and I'm obviously more fluent in Italian than Spanish, but I know a little bit of Spanish. Like Portuguese is really, really weird to me. Like the way that you pronounce certain letters is just like not the letter at all. And the construction of sentences, like Aaron, my partner Aaron she's doing Duolingo in Spanish, and she was going through these things where it's like he gives her, I don't know, the ball or something, but it's like he, her gives ball or something. Like that's how you say it in Spanish. And it's not that way in Portuguese. In Portuguese, it would be like he gives her the ball, just as, you know, like the sentence is constructed in the same way. And that's pretty much the same in Italian too. It's the sentence structure and the structure of the words is pretty, pretty easy, but the words themselves and the pronunciation is just whack. And it's similar enough to Spanish to make you confused. if you're familiar with Spanish. It's like similar enough and yet different because it's not quite the same.
I feel like Spanish, I can sort of, if someone is patient with me, you know, doesn't speak English, can speak Spanish, you know, I can kind of hang and sort of figure out what they're saying if they go slowly. But that's about it. That's my limit.
Yeah, it's hard when you're talking to a native speaker and they're like,
yes. Yes. Absolutely.
That's why whenever I've been learning a language, I like talking to children because I'm usually on that, like, first grade level. and also, like, topics, all my vocabulary, like, fits in really well, where I'm like, what is your favorite color? Like, I'm, like, super conversational in a way that, like, a 6 or 7 year old appreciates.
There are 3 trains over there.
Yeah, I know. I'm just like, look at the black cat. Like... And it makes sense versus adults are just like, I really, none of these topics are interesting. And I'm like,
yeah, black cat, cool.
Where is the elephant?
Oh man, that's probably a good strategy though. At least anywhere you visit, right? If you can ask where the elephant is, you end up at a zoo. Perhaps a crypto zoo.
You want to see.
Yeah.
Do you know any French, Allison?
I do a little. Most of my French is food vocabulary because everything is labeled both because it's required. So that's where the bulk of it has come from.
Because there's some parts of Canada that like speak French more than other parts of Canada.
Yeah, technically it's we have both recognized as the official languages, but in like in Quebec, it's largely almost all French. But again, it's the difference between French and Quebecois French, which is very different. There's judgment there if you come in speaking France French. But that being said, they teach in schools. There's lots of French immersion and things, and they teach France French, which is interesting. The Quebecois French is like a lot more, from my interpretation of it, is there's a lot more slang and differences and phrasings and things. So some vocabulary doesn't always translate.
So it's like colloquial English versus the King's English.
Yeah, kind of. From what my understanding of it, I feel like someone who's Quebecois might drag me for that. I'm not quite sure. My French isn't good enough to fully comprehend. But like if you know French and you go to Quebec, you would be able to manage just fine. But they would also be able to like isolate you as someone that's not Quebecois.
So do we know if there are dialects of Esperanto? Or is it just like one thing and doesn't matter where, but
there probably
you can make
are,
one.
Because if it's a worldwide thing, I imagine.
And you would think with 2 million speakers that there has to be some regional differences in slang that have appeared in the language.
That's an interesting, like, it's interesting to think about like how, because certain people in certain areas, because of their native language, would pronounce certain sounds differently than people in other parts of the world. So it's interesting to think about how that would evolve a language that is not representative of a specific place. Because language evolves from a geographic locality and the people that are there. And that's what slang and pidgin languages come from. And so, like, if you just remove that, and it seems like it would evolve out of, like, you know, the types of sounds that your mouth is most used to shaping. Like, a Japanese person speaking Esperanto would be completely different than an American person speaking Esperanto.
What's the most spoken language in the world? Anybody have any idea?
It's not English. I would assume it would be English. Just because everybody else who's not in Western countries is being forced to learn it anyway.
I
was surprised how easy it was to get around when I was in Italy. Like if I chose not to speak Italian, because I tried to speak Italian as much as I possibly could, because I took 4 years of Italian in high school. So like I felt like I kind of knew, and I had also been to Italy in high school. So like I was feeling that stuff coming back, so I was trying to speak it as much as possible. But I was surprised by how much I didn't have to speak Italian if I chose not to. And other people who didn't know any Italian didn't speak it, because pretty much everybody spoke it at least a little bit. I mean, they might have spoken it badly, but they knew it.
So French is like the international language of politics, right?
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm like, yes. As someone not involved in politics generally.
Absolutely.
yes, and?
There's some trivia. I would argue that English has to be like the international language of...
vulgarity and swearing?
No, I think there's probably much dirtier languages than English. Than of commerce would be my guess. I feel like that, you know, I don't know, maybe I have a different lens. Because when we were buying stuff from Asia, China and Taiwan, I could always find someone at a factory that wrote some form of English, you know, and we could exchange ideas and pricing and that kind of thing. And traveling in southern China, I didn't really have any problem. I mean, I don't speak Mandarin or any Chinese dialects. But I didn't have any issues with language there. I will say, I Googled because I was curious. The number one response, or the number one language, number one most spoken language is Chinese, but they don't really break it down as far as dialect. But I would assume Mandarin. Spanish, number two, which makes sense, right? Spanish, you've got all South America and Spain, and what else would they speak Spanish?
That's Central America?
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking like that. Yeah.
United States of America. Yeah.
South of the United States is not South America. Just FYI. I mean, there is, that is south of the United States, but there's this place right in the middle between South America and North America that is not just all South America. They also speak Spanish.
Right.
Were you all required to take language in high school, like a second language?
Yeah.
Recommend, was there like a push towards one language over others?
Sure. So where I went to school, it was the largest Greek population per capita in the US. So Greek was like the language that everybody took, followed by Spanish because Florida. And then French and German were available. And I took German because it seemed really interesting to me. Like it really sounded like gross and, you know, I mean, it's my teens and like a phlegmy language was kind of interesting, right? Neat. So that was the draw of German for me. But German and Spanish were the two big ones in my school. Oh, and Latin, I guess, if you were like a nerdy kid. And I was a nerdy kid, but not that kind of nerdy kid.
Yeah, there were three languages offered at my high school. It was French, Spanish, and Italian. Spanish was probably what most people took. If you're snooty, you took French. There was a lot of Latinx people at my school. I don't know how to pronounce that. I know how to read it, but I don't know how to pronounce it. These newfangled words. And I took Italian because I'm a fourth Italian. So I was... And as I've... This is another conversation that I've had with Aaron, which is that, you know, if I was going to choose a language that would be like, I don't know, more beneficial in general moving forward in life, probably Italian was not the language to take because it's only spoken in Italy, which is a place that's fun to go. But outside of Italy, you don't really speak Italian very often. You don't have really reason to speak that. So Spanish might've been more functional, or French. She took German in high school. We didn't have that as an option. That's also very kind of the same sort of thing. It's very contained to Germany. And also like Germany, basically everybody speaks English anyway, so your need to actually know German is greatly reduced, I think.
Yeah, I wish I took a year of German, and then I switched high schools and took Spanish for the remainder.
I was really expecting you to say, I actually took Esperanto. And
actually, yeah. Heads up, I'm a native speaker of Esperanto.
Whoa! Mind blown.
I would have led with that.
No, I think saving to the end would have been way more fantastic.
I just sign off. I say, like, goodbye. I just don't even.
Esperanto, like, what just happened?
Well, I am going to check out it on Duolingo now.
Yeah, I'm definitely.
Yeah, I might need to do that too.
Language samples.
Maybe our next we'll just have a podcast that's entirely us pretending we know Esperanto.
It won't be very long. It's awful hard to remember you know a language and a topic at the same time. Like,
I'm like, I know both these things. This is fine.
Yeah.
Although I'd like my French to improve because my sister-in-law is French and my niece is starting to be verbal. So I'd like to know what she's saying behind my back as she grows into a young adult. She's only 1.5 now, but I figure I'll learn with her, hopefully, and teach her some English along the way.
So that brings us to the part of the show where we answer some questions from our viewers and those and listeners. And when we don't have questions, we come up with our own, or at least Allison comes up with some questions for us. So,
wait, how do people submit questions?
There is an excellent question, Gary. I'm glad you asked. If you go to the website, binaryjazz.us,
right.
There is a form right there on the homepage. If you scroll down a bit, there's also a contact page, which is basically the same thing, where you can enter a name. It doesn't have to be your name; it could be somebody else's name, and a question there. You can also contact us on Twitter at Binary Jazz, and that would be also a great way of getting in touch with us and asking us a question that we will then read on the air and attempt to answer to the best of our ability. Thank you for asking that question, Gary.
Thank you for answering that question.
Are we ready for the
question? Yes, we're ready.
Okay.
That didn't count as one, correct?
No, that did not count.
Whew, that's a relief.
Okay. Favorite cereal mascot?
I mean, I kind of have to do Count Chocula, right? Like,
I was leaning heavily towards Count Chocula.
I mean...
Unanimous Count Chocula.
No, I was leaning heavily towards, but I don't know if that's... I mean, like, character, right? But I mean, some of that comes into the flavor, you know?
I feel like Count Chocolate is chocolate does not go into the flavor at all. That's not why I would choose.
I'm gonna go pretty passe and say Tony the Tiger.
That is pretty passe.
Pretty classic, you know. But I mean, that's how I like my cereal.
There's
like,
nothing controversial about Tony the Tiger.
There really isn't. I mean, until you learn that he's a member of the alt-right. And he's
it's right, not my store brand anyway, so it's probably like Tiny the Tree Frog or something, you know? Yeah. Like Tiny the Puma. It doesn't even rhyme or no alliteration.
Yeah. I do, however, appreciate the cereal puffins and how the mascot is obviously a puffin, and that the proceeds, a portion of the proceeds from the sale of the cereal goes to rescue puffins off the coast of Maine or something.
That's fantastic. What is that cereal called? Puffin cereal?
Yeah, Puffins.
Oh, well, I haven't seen that.
It's in the like natural food section, so you have every reason to not have any idea what it is.
Our store is interesting because it doesn't have like a natural food section. It puts everything like in the section that it belongs to, and it's usually like at the left as you're standing facing it. So it's, you know, it's just labeled separately that, you know.
Well, then it would be in the cereal section.
To the left.
What's that?
Healthy stuff is to the left of that appropriate section.
Yes.
I can't say that's like always 100% true.
It's always 100% true. There's a definite left-right thing.
But in my grocery store, I'm saying is I don't stock the grocery store amongst the things I do. That's not one of them. I feel like that's always to the left, but I don't want someone that listens in Jacksonville to go to my Publix and say, you lied.
A popular topic when I was in high school was how in San Francisco you cannot turn left. There's no left turns everywhere, and that was like a social commentary. Obviously, you can't turn left. Okay, so question number two.
Okay, next question. Were you named after anyone?
No.
Next question. So family names are big in my family. I'm named after my dad. I share the same first name. And then my middle name comes from my grandfather, my mom's side middle name. My son has my middle name and my brother-in-law's first name. And my daughter has my wife's grandmother's name and my mom's grandmother's maiden name as a middle name. Anyway, names are a thing in my family and they kind of stick around.
So I'm named after no one. my daughter's middle name is my great grandmother, my maternal great, my grandmother's mother, who was the first immigrant in our family to travel from Italy to the United States. And my son's middle name is his, is my wife's grandfather's name, Edwin. Their first names are not family names, but their middle names are.
All right. Okay, cool. Moving on.
I like that question. That was a fun one.
What was the last song that you chose to listen to, and what was the last song someone made you listen to? And made you maybe just being like, they chose to play it, and you might not have made that choice.
Jeez, I feel like the list of songs I've been made to listen to are very long because Pandora. And like, I start Pandora in the morning, and then I'm, you know, then I'm deep in work, and I, what am I listening to? You know,
you're in the throes of the algorithm.
Yeah.
So whatever Pandora played last, let's see.
While you're looking, the last song that I chose to listen to, I've got a playlist that I put together recently because a friend of mine who's a musician just recorded a covers album. And I was thinking about like what songs I would cover if I was going to cover songs. And so I made a playlist in iTunes of songs that I would like to maybe cover. And I decided after one or two songs that like the songs that I wanted to cover were all songs that were recorded by women. So I have this all like Riot Girl, mostly Riot Girl, but basically lots of angry women yelling at men playlist of. So the last song that I chose to listen to was off of that, and it was Shitlist by L7.
The last one that I chose to listen to was Zombie Cranberries.
Mm.
So I will say
because of Dolores O'Riordan.
Yeah.
As we've discussed, you're very anti-zombie.
Correct. <Yeah. laughs>
This is where the continuity between the episodes comes and becomes important.
I don't know if important is quite a stretch. I feel like you are both very much more intentional about music, whereas I am like I could probably live with the radio, you know, I could make it happen. Well, the commercials about me, but I mean, I want a personal DJ that would just like react to my body language when I'm working and say, oh, we need to mix that up a little. That would be ideal for me.
That's interesting because that is like, I mean, when I was DJing parties and clubs and stuff, I would read the audience and play things based on how I the feeling of what I was seeing on the floor. So yeah, that is totally a thing.
Maybe I'll put in a request to see if I can get like a budget item for a personal DJ.
Just like somebody in the corner figuring it out.
Yeah, I mean, and then we can have lunch together. You know? This is awesome.
That's called a friend.
Oh. That's depressing.
I mean, my interpretation. I've only heard about these called friends, but not entirely familiar.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, working remotely, right? Like when you work like in an office, you're the people that you eat lunch with, but working remotely, you're like, well, I'll grab whatever leftovers in the fridge from last night or peanut butter and jelly, and eat with my dog. It's kind of like the standard until you're like, man, I haven't been out of the house for 3 days. Like I'm going for sushi or, you know, whatever.
That never happens.
It does.
Leaving the house.
Sushi. Yeah. I've had calls while, leaving the house. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've done it.
We've done it.
We've
another
successfully
episode.
Completed episode 11.
No. Nicely yes. Done. Yes.
Nicely done. I'm proud of us. Why is that funny? I'm proud of us. I think it's a good thing. Let's do this again next Thursday. Let's get a few more in the tank, huh?
Let's do it.
Okay. Have an awesome day.